Before I get started, I was thinking to myself, oh, I don't need to introduce myself. Everybody knows who I am. But I realized a lot of people don't know who I am. So as much as I was going to put a fun big collage of all the people in my family, I just went, where's the last group picture we were all in? And then I'll show that. So this is... Here's my family picture from last Christmas when my son Stephen got married. So for those of you who don't know these, some of you have seen this picture because we don't have that many all-group family pictures. So on the far right, my Joseph is going to be 25. He's my firstborn on his next birthday. He's a senior graphic designer at OC Tanner, married to the amazingly wonderful Caitlin. Caitlin is a second lieutenant in the Army, and she's stationed in Syria right now. Woohoo! Hopefully coming back next February. She said she really misses coming to church and women's relationships, among other things. So, Caitlin, when you watch this, honey, we love you and we miss you. Yeah. Mwah! Yeah! So, yes, we do. So that's my shout-out to her. Nextborn, Stephen, is the groom, and he's 23. He is a second lieutenant in the Air Force. He is a navigator, and Nicole, who this was their wedding picture, they met and got married last year. It was a busy year at our house. They are just now stationed. They moved from Pensacola to Tucson, and the plane that he's going to be flying is based out of there. So they should be there for 6 years, and he's hoping to get deployed next spring, which I told him I'm not willing to talk about, but he said that's what he's hoping for. So, and Nicole is a sign language interpreter, so she does some really fun things with her job. Thirdborn, Jonathan, I don't know if he's still back there. You'll see Jonathan. He's a videographer for our church. He is a sophomore at SLIC, getting his associate's degree and then figuring out what he's going to be doing. So you'll see him a lot at church. And then Timothy, the tallest but the youngest, is 17. He's going to be 18. He's a senior at Brighton, real busy with student body government things. And then, of course, the amazing Bill Young. So that is my family. And I just love them. So I thought, for those of you that don't know that about me or what my family looks like, those are my people. So love them dearly, and they're spread out, but I'm learning how to mother long distance. So anyway, so that's my family. I just wanted you to be able to go, oh, that's who they are. So yeah. So I have been a Christian for 32 years and married for 29, and then we moved here almost 19 and a half years ago. So tonight's talk is on foundations. I love to talk about foundations for women's relationships with the Lord. I'm passionate about that because if a woman doesn't have a strong relationship with the Lord, you're missing out on the main relationship that you need to have in your life. So what we're hoping is that this talk is kind of laying that foundation for the year, and then as we talk about different things during the year, you hopefully could go, oh yeah, that's right, that's how that kind of connects, that's how it works together. It's not a definitive talk by any means. I'm just wanting to throw some things out to you guys. Are you hearing that? Does it keep doing that? Do you hear that, Brady? It's making... All right. He shut the door on me. What does... It's almost like he doesn't want to hear my complaint. So, all right. I don't know if it's my earring. I'll try to stand still. So I'm going to send these things home with you. That is my sincere prayer. You take home what I share. It's not definitive, but I want you to think about it. I'd like you to leave tonight going, oh, that's something I could take home. I think God could use that in my life, and I want to see what that looks like. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, I want to thank you for each woman that's here tonight. There's a lot of things pulling on our time, a lot of different directions we could go. And it was a sacrifice for each woman to be here tonight. I really appreciate that. I pray that you would use tonight in each of their lives just to speak to their heart, to help them hear from you. Oh, Lord, I don't want them to hear from me. I want them to hear from you so that growth and change can happen in their life, in their relationship with you, in their relationships in their home, with their friends, in their workplace, wherever you have them, that they'd be more aware of how you're working in those situations. So I pray you'd bless the time, lead the time, protect the time, give good interaction afterward in our breakdown groups. Thank you for the sweet fellowship that comes. You've made us relationally. I'm so thankful for that. And I just ask you tonight, Lord, help us to connect one another, and then more importantly, to connect with you. So we commit the night to you and ask for it in your son's name. Amen. So, empower. You go, I should probably know what that means. This is just a good old general definition. It's to equip, to supply, to give power, to give someone authority, to do something, make someone stronger or more confident. So when I was working on this, I then Googled empower quotes on the internet. And there's a lot of junk out there. So I'll tell you what you missed. It's women telling women to do what they want, to feel what they want, and to be what they want. You're to use the power within to change the world. You are the one and only you that has the power, what it takes in and of yourself. You are your own reality. I'm not even sure what that means, but seriously, that was one of the quotes. So you are your own reality. You are your own basis for making decisions and getting things done. You are the one to give yourself the strength you need. And by the way, don't listen to any man along the way. That's really the brunt of what I was getting, you know? So I thought, well, that's the message that we're hearing. It goes to remind us all, it's a hard world to be a woman in, to believe what's right and to know what's right. And thankfully, the Lord's ways are not the ways of the world. Perfect verse, Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And it's His Spirit that's going to be our power. It is not what we have in and of ourselves. It's what will lead us. It will be what guides us for your thoughts, for your actions, and for your life. Zechariah says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. His Spirit is going to be what changes everything. That is the empowerment we're going to be talking about tonight. So then I cleverly Googled Christian empowerment quotes. I thought, I don't want to end this on that other stuff that I was reading, and I found a doozy. This is a good one. It says, the Holy Spirit's empowering of you happened when you put your faith in Christ. You were likely not aware of this the moment you were born again. At the time, most of us have no idea that there even is a term for such a moment, but there is. And from that time, the Spirit has been with you. You were enabled to live a godly and powerful life right then and there, and you've been empowered ever since. His empowering has likely blessed you in many awesome, specific, and tangible ways. And I love that, because really what it's saying, and it's so true, when you're led by the Spirit, you're going to live the life, you can live the life that He has and that honors Him, and we need to be women that can do that. So, you think, oh, I don't know what I think about that. Well, I saw a t-shirt for you this summer. I saw it on the back of someone. I'm like, oh, that's a really meaningful, it's not a verse, but it was really kind of this meaningful saying, and I liked it. If it doesn't challenge me, it doesn't change me. Maybe you've seen it. I've seen it several times since. I think it's out there. So that's one of my goals for you tonight. My prayer is sincerely that you're challenged. Because if you're not challenged where you're sitting here right now, you're not going to change. And I do believe God wants to take each one of us, no matter where you are with Him, to the next level in your relationship with Him. So I want that for you. And you might be thinking, well, great, I want that too. But how do I do that? How do I know what the Lord has? And then how do I tap into that power and not what I'm hearing from my coworkers or on the internet or what's going on in my life? So a few basic things. I'm sorry, I don't have a handout, so you can, I don't even say take notes. I don't even think I have a piece of paper for you. So I don't have a handout, but I'll give you these kind of simple. You need to have a relationship with Him. It's being a Christian is what's going to set you apart, and that's how you get His Spirit to begin with, like that gal was saying. It's when you become born again, His Spirit comes to live inside you. And one of my favorite people is Elizabeth Elliot. She's not gospel, but she's really close in my opinion. She says, the fact that I'm a woman does not make me a different kind of Christian, but the fact that I'm a Christian makes me a different kind of woman. I think that is so true, because once you've plugged into Jesus, His power is then at work with you. So it's like if you're walking around with a curling iron or a hair dryer, you want it to work. It's useless in your hands unless you plug it in. It seems elementary, but it's the truth. If you're not plugged in to the power source, the right power source, you don't have that power at your disposal. So the first question I just want to ask you tonight is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Are you able to be plugged into that power source because you have His Spirit living within you? You might be sitting here and thinking, no, I don't, or you have questions about that. That's great. I'm really glad you're here and you have those questions. I want you to talk to me, talk to one of the deacon's wives, one of the pastor's wives that stood up afterward. We would love to help you have that relationship with Jesus. So if you don't, talk to us. You also might be sitting here thinking, yes, I do have a relationship with Jesus. It's been quiet. It's been on the back burner. It has not been a priority in my life. That's fine too. I would challenge you to use tonight to let the Lord fan the flame, to build that relationship, to make it a higher priority, because that is the foundation we're going to be talking about. So once you have His Spirit, you need to pursue Him. I want to encourage you that empowerment is a verb. You're going to need to take action, and it's going to require something from you. This isn't a passive thing. You don't get empowered to do nothing. You get empowered to become something. And so this summer, I noticed I was reading a number of verses. I just wanted to highlight these to you, how many verbs there are in these verses, the admonition you need to take charge and do some of these things. In Joshua, it says, be very careful to keep the commandments, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience, to keep his commands, to hold fast to him, to serve him with your heart and with your soul. Proverbs 2, this is a great one to challenge you. My son, if you accept my words, store up my commands, turning your ear to wisdom, applying your heart to understanding, calling out for insight, crying aloud for understanding, looking for it as for silver, and searching for it as for hidden treasure. And then Thessalonians, another good one. We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, strive to do what is good, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, test on to them, hold on to them, reject every kind of evil. You guys see a pattern in those? I was so struck with that. You have to do something in order for this foundation to be laid, to put your daily life in it. I was challenged when Jesus was being taken before the authorities, and he'd said to Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, no, I won't. And he was following Jesus. The phrase it used in the Bible, it said, Peter followed him at a distance. And I was so struck by that. I thought, oh, Lord, may I never be a woman that follows you at a distance. And these verses are reminding me that as we are active in pursuing him, we need to be women that are following him very closely, not at a distance. So how do you do that? I'm glad you asked. So quiet times. My answer to just about anything is your quiet time. You need to be having quiet times. You need to work on your relationship with the Lord. I'm not meaning you have to get up at 4 a.m. and spend an hour and do this and do that. You need a habit of spending time with him, and it needs to encourage you. It looks different for everybody, but the point is you're connecting with him on a daily basis. So spending time with him, get a plan. If you don't have a plan, that's what you need. On the table, on the way out in the lobby, is a quiet time kind of a handout that I have. Real basic, but it might be exactly what you need to get started. If you're sitting here thinking, I don't know where to start, that's the handout for you. It's on a blue piece of paper. You can't miss it. It's on the table out there. It's a place to start. Journal. Ask, like I said, ask him to help you. Ask him to empower you. You're going to need to learn his word. And it starts by spending 5, 10, 15 minutes in the word every single day, just so that it's a habit. You're connecting with him and you're talking to him. Question you can ask yourself is, how can you stand against the tide of this world if you're not equipped to handle it? You will be defenseless. It's like going to battle without your armor on. How can you hear the lies and sift through them if you don't know what the truth is to combat them with? And truth is found in his word. So handouts are in the lobby. I would love for you to take those. So besides quiet time, it's prayer, spending time with him, talking to him. You might be thinking, I don't know how to do that. You know, it's like envisioning him sitting across the table from you in the morning and saying, what can I do for you today? What do you need? What can I do to help you? It's a relationship. It's just you talking to him daily, hourly, minute. It's just getting the conversation started. You can't pray wrong. Some people are like, I don't know how to pray. You can't pray wrong. It's, you know, it's just talking to the Lord, asking him for help. And you can praise him, thank him. Let's see, go backward. And sing to him. So, practically living the empowered life daily, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. So, kind of dovetailing on that daily relationship, quiet times, prayer times, then the other thing I just want to emphasize tonight is, when you're doing those things, then what's your life looking like? How do you practically live the empowered life? You need to remember, like this verse says, you're not your own. You really don't have the right to just do what you want. You need to have your life under the authority of Jesus. What do you have for my life to practically walk that? And it doesn't mean you need to go to Africa. Sometimes people think they need to go do big, great things. And those are great. They're awesome. But God can and will use you exactly where he has you right now. Even if you don't know what that looks like or how that could be possible, God does. He has a plan for your life, for everything that he's allowing. It could be really hard in your life. It could be really good in your life. It could be very easy. It could be you not even wanting to get out of bed in the morning. God has a plan to meet you in that and can use you in that season of life. So you have what it takes. That's what I want to encourage you. Some questions to ask yourself as you're pursuing, is this my life? Am I living it for me? Am I really doing what the Lord would have me do? Because I'm in His Word. I'm praying. I want to make my life count. I want to be changed. I want to be challenged. What does that look like? So simple things to ask yourself. Are your words, thoughts, and actions, and how you spend your time honoring to Him? They're good things to ask because people waste a lot of time doing stupid things. They really do. I get asked all the time to get more involved with social media. Why? I have a real small circle of who I need to stay connected with. And other than that, I don't want to see the way some people are spending their time. And just because you go, this is stupid. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? That's a whole other conversation. So anyway, are the relationships in your life ones He would want you to have? There's probably relationships He wouldn't want you to have. Again, these are just things for you to take home and to think about. What guidelines do you have in your decision making? I talked to someone recently and they said all their decisions are based on how they feel. And I was like, oh, that's a really hard way to make decisions because it changes 5 minutes later. So ask yourself, maybe you don't have guidelines, but if you do, what are they? And do you focus on what doesn't matter? It's really easy to be busy doing nothing of real value. We all do it. We can all waste time, but some people do it a lot longer than others because they just don't have a vision for what's going on in their life. I heard this quote this summer. It's attributed to Mark Twain, although the more research I did, they said he didn't actually say it. So whether he did or not, it's given to him. So it says, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. That's really challenging. What are the things you're doing? Are you going to be really glad you did them? Or are you going to be really sorry that you did them? Some people just don't think about what they're doing. And it's a good reminder. Stop and think. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Are you being intentional? 1 Corinthians says, run in such a way as to get the prize. So what are you seeing as you're looking even back on your life? You might be sitting here and thinking, I'm 14 years old. I don't have that much life to look back on. Well, before long, you're going to be 30 and then 40 and then 50, and there is a lot of your life to look back on. You need to be making the right decisions now so that when you're my age, you look back and go, oh, those were really good things that I did. Sure, we all make mistakes and do silly things, but overall, are you being intentional with how you're living your life? There are eternal ramifications for how you're spending your time. So what is your plan? You need to get a plan. So we were back in Iowa this summer, and there was this cute little boutique, and I was going through all these sayings. They were just little cute sayings, and I found this one. I don't really know who this person is, but I was struck by the truth behind this. So he said, I don't fear failure. I fear succeeding at something that doesn't matter. And I sat there, and I looked at that again, and went, wow, that is really profound. There's a lot of people succeeding at something that doesn't matter. There's not that many things that matter. It's the Lord's business. But you can spend your life doing an awful lot of other things. And it doesn't mean you need to stand on the corner doing evangelism. Again, people think you need to go out and do something. It can be making the next right choice for where you are, for what's going on in your life. Being available for Him. It doesn't, again, mean you have to necessarily do big things. But are you willing? Are you available for what He has for you in the life that He's given you? My good old Elizabeth Elliot said it, I have one desire now to live a life of reckless abandon for the Lord, putting all my energy and strength into it. She was a woman who had a real vision for how she spent her time. And you never know, but if you're available, if you say to the Lord in the morning, what do you have for my day today? I thought recently last week, I thought, you know, I'm not much of an evangelist. I'm really not. I'm kind of more of a relational discipler type, you know. I've always thought, well, Bill's kind of more the evangelist type, but Lord, I need you to probably help me with that, you know, but I'm not the kind that would go on a street corner. You kind of need to bring somebody to me, but I didn't really pray it deep down because I probably didn't really know if I wanted it to happen because it's kind of scary sharing the gospel with people. So last week, I was in the dentist chair, and they have you somewhat captive because you're laying there, and she was cleaning my teeth. I couldn't even really talk, and spiritual things came up. I've gone to this hygienist for years, and out of nowhere she brings up religion and that they'd never been to church and they're going to let their kids decide what they want to do and that they'd read the Bible and weren't sure they really believed it. It was like, red flag, red flag. I couldn't not say something. I just had trouble saying it because I, you know, she had her hands in my mouth, and so I said, real, you know, kind of, I said, so how's that working for you? I said, what are you going to have your kids learn if they don't learn something? They're not going to be able to compare anything to anything. You're going to have to go to church, a church, sometime, somehow. And it just opened the door, and then we started talking. And the next thing I knew, I was inviting her to church. And I said, and you really need to come to Rocktoberfest. Oh, you guys, I should do it more. I'm just kind of chicken sometimes to put it out there. And I thought, how hard was that? God had me captive in the chair. She brings up spiritual stuff, and I'm like, this is awesome. You know, you saw what I'm saying. You don't need to go stand on a street corner. You pray, God can bring the people to you. So I'm determined to get that girl and her family to church. So hopefully they're going to come to, you know, they're not afraid of putting on costumes and coming to Rocktoberfest. They're just not sure they want to come to church on the weekend. But I invited her, and I went, Lord, thank you. There was my reckless abandon for the Lord, inviting my dental hygienist to church. But, you know, it was something for me. So I thought, God, thank you for being faithful to that. So anyway, point, another one, you must be completely and utterly dependent on Him. It's so easy to be told you need to be dependent on yourself or on other people. It has to start foundationally with the Lord. It says, apart from me, you can do nothing or really nothing that matters. It's good to be desperate for Him. I read my Jesus Calling. I don't know how many of you have that book. It's awesome. It's a little devotional. It says, do everything in dependence on me. The desire to act independently really comes from pride. God's desire is for you to be dependent on Him. The choice is yours. I don't think we realize that sometimes. We think it's just the way it is, and it is our choice. And there's going to be real struggles in your life. I'm not saying that when you're connected with the Lord and have His Spirit, that those things aren't going to come into your life. Hard things, difficult things, but how you're going to deal with them will be handled completely differently. And it's how you can do that makes the difference. And it's, again, Elizabeth. The secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. How often do we think, if I just had different circumstances, then such and such. If only this was different, then such and such. But your circumstances are exactly what God has for you. Whatever they are, however they are, right now, that's what He has for you. So the secret for you is Christ's power within you, not you in that set of circumstances. So I was thinking, well, what does this look like in my life? Like I said, I've been a believer for 32 years. So practically, I'm in His Word every morning. That's my goal, 7 days a week. It doesn't always happen because sometimes life gets in the way, but that's my plan, 7 days a week. I pray. I've grown more as my kids have gotten older. People used to say, wait till you have teenagers, you're going to pray more. They were not kidding. It's one thing when they're little and you can kind of go, you just go do this or I need you to do that. As they get older and you think, well, what kind of decision was that? And what are you doing here? And now you're over here and Katie Mae's in Syria. And you just think, oh my gosh, you guys are all over the world. I need to pray. It's a good habit to get started because trust me, as your kids get older, if you have kids, you're going to be praying more. So and that's a good thing. But I was thinking about that. I thought, well, you know, I'm dependent on His empowerment, and because of that, I sincerely try never to do anything that I want to do. Like, what does Mary want to do in this situation? I try and sincerely base my decisions on what I think, what would the Lord want me to do in this? And the secret is the more time you spend with the Lord, like those quiet times I'm telling you about, the more you start to get His thoughts, and then He can steer you and tell you what He wants you to do. So often my prayer starts in the morning, what do you have for my day, Lord? What is your plan? I know what I want to achieve, and you need to work toward that, but what do you have? You know, how can I serve and love my husband? How do you love your neighbor? How do I love my, you know, my kids? Of course I love my kids, but you know, there's times you think, how can I deal with this situation or this coworker or this friend? And more often than not, my prayer is to keep me from myself. Serving yourself is never going to satisfy, and if I just put Mary at the front of my day and I guide my day, I'm going nowhere really fast. I might think that's what is a good thing, but in all sincerity, you need to be so dependent on the Lord that you don't really make a move without saying, what do you have for me? And what's a precious commodity to all of us? It's our time. So I was thinking about that. I don't necessarily spend my time with what I want to do because I've learned His priorities. So my first priority is like, okay, here's what the Lord has for me. I think about it from going, how can I be the best wife? How can I be the best friend? How can I, because I do have children, be the best mother, the coworker, the best neighbor? How can I be who God wants me to be? From meeting, if you ask me to go to coffee, if you ask me to do a Bible study, if I want to read a book, if I want to see a movie, you might be thinking, you're crazy. Don't you have a mind of your own? Yes, I do. But see, it's completely hopefully in line with what the Lord has. It's like when you're watching a movie and you think, I shouldn't be watching this. Either it's, you know, something's inappropriate about it. Turn it off. You just go, the Lord's Spirit, He's like, He guides you. Turn it off. Stop having that conversation. There are conversations you should not be having. There's information you're sharing. You think, I shouldn't be having that. The Lord's Spirit can make you sensitive to what you share and how you spend your time. Do I always make the right choices? No. But my goal is, I want to stay in tune with the Lord to say, what do you have for my time? Because you want to invest it. I don't want to look back in 10 and 20 years and go, what did I do with my time? I want to be about His business and be spending my time the way He wants me to. So the more time you actively spend pursuing Him, the more you're going to know how He wants you to live your life. You're not even going to question some of your activities or your conversation options. It's like, oh, it's just this. Oh, it's just that. We always used to say to our boys growing up, you know, others may, you may not. It was just, I don't care what somebody else is doing. That's what goes on in our house. That's our rule. And I think of it for me, well, somebody else might do that. That's not what's going to happen in my life. He's empowering you, and I'm encouraging you with that, not to sit idly by. Go do something with the power that He's giving you, and because He does want you to use you right where you are, in the hard work situation that you're in that friend situation that's really difficult, in the relational relative relationship that's really difficult. He wants to work in that. I like this gal's quote. She said, there's a reason He's equipping you and empowering you. What good is it to be empowered if you don't have a role to fulfill that requires empowerment? Well, that's really true. He's empowered us to fulfill the role that He's already given us. And He has a plan for you, even if you're sitting here going, I'm not sure what it is. Maybe He just wants you to be a really faithful student. Maybe you're sitting here going, it's hard to be a student or a college student, maybe elementary school, whatever you are, you go, that's just really hard for me. Well, that's a very real thing, and God can meet you in that. Maybe it's relationship stuff. Maybe it's, well, who knows what it is, but he knows, and He wants to help you with that. And He wants to do the work. Like I said, you need to kind of be plugged into Him, and not the world, not other relationships, but be plugged into Him. So, conclusion, how about that? So, in a nutshell, you need a relationship with Him. You need daily time with Him. You need to pray to Him. You need to be a verb. I want to encourage you to be a verb. You need to be about His business, and you need to be empowered by Him. I think of this verse in Matthew 25, well done, good and faithful servant. And I think about that. I long to hear Jesus say that to me someday. Mary, you did a really good job. I'm really proud of you. I'm really happy with your life. Thank you for loving me, for letting me steer your life. That's what I'm living for. And that's just what I wanted to share with you guys tonight. We're all at different seasons of life. We're all at different stages of our relationship with the Lord. I just want to say, take this home and see where it fits to pursue Him a little more actively, a little more boldly than maybe you've done, spending a little extra time in His Word, spending a little extra time praying, asking Him to sincerely help you with everything going on in your life, because that's right where He wants to meet you. You don't have to go anywhere for Him to be meeting you with what He wants to accomplish in your life, including the relationships that are here tonight. As you get to know other women, as you connect, He's in the midst of those things, and we just want to honor Him with what we say and what we do, and just grow that much closer to Him as we pursue Him. So that's my encouragement for you tonight, and I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to have our breakdown time. So, Lord, I just want to commit the rest of the night to You. I thank You that You can speak to us. You do speak to us. You want to help us. Lord, that it's Your power that's going to make a difference in our life. I pray for women that they be challenged tonight, that they be changed because of You, that they would want to make their life count with that next right choice. Doesn't have to be a big thing. Sometimes the smallest choice is the most significant. But help us to be aware of where You're leading us and how You want to empower us. Help us to be that light that shines tomorrow when we get up and go to school, when we get up and go to work, when we reach across the fence and talk to our neighbor, when we're in our home with our husband and our children. Whatever You have for us, Lord, let our light shine and let our lives count for You, knowing that it's going to be worth it in the end to hear You say, well done, good and faithful servant. So we commit the night to You, each woman here, and the rest of our time, and ask for these things in Your Son's name. Amen.